Ah, she won't trouble it much longer, Zob, says another one, a thin cove in a stovepipe hat and mittens. Her time is almost run. God be thanked for it, cries the old chap. The air of Munich will be sweeter without her and her filthy bordello perfumes. And he and the thin cove fell to miscalling her with a will. Now, as you can guess, I pricked up my ears at this, for it sounded like excellent news. If the good Muncheners were kicking Lola out at last, they'd get three cheers and a tiger from me. She had been in my mind, of course, ever since I decided to make for Munich, although I determined to keep well clear of her and the Barrestrasse. But if she had fallen from favour, I was agog to hear all about it. I couldn't think of anything I'd rather listen to. I pressed the stout old fellow for details, and he supplied them. "The king has given way at last," says he. "He has thrown her out. The one good thing to come out of all this civil unrest that is sweeping the country. Herr Gott, the times we live in!" He looked me up and down. "But you, then, are a stranger to Munich, sir?" I said I was, and he advised me to continue to be one. "This is no place for honest folks these days," says he. "Continue your journey, I say, and thank God that wherever you come from has not been ruined by the rule of a dotard and his slut." "Unless," says the thin chap, grinning, "you care to linger for an hour or two and watch Munich exorcising its demon. They stoned her house last night and the night before. I hear the crowds are in the Barrestrasse this evening again. Perhaps they'll sack the place." Well, this was splendid altogether. Lola, who had dragged me into the horror of Schönhausen and Württemberg at Bismarck's prompting, was being hounded out of Munich by the mob, while I, the poor dupe and puppet, would be strolling out with my pockets lined with tin. She was losing everything, and I was gaining a fortune. It isn't often justice is so poetic. True, I still had to solve my immediate problem of getting out of Munich without funds. I daren't try to pop any of my swag, and short of waylaying someone in an alley, and I hadn't the game for that, I could see no immediate way of raising the wind. But it was a great consolation to know that Lola's troubles were infinitely more pressing. By the sound of it, she'd be lucky to get through the night alive. Would they sack her palace? The thought of being on hand to gloat from a safe distance was a famous one, if it was safe, of course. "What about her Alemannia?" I asked. "Won't they defend her?" "Not they," says the thin man, sneering. "You'll find few of them near the Barrestrasse tonight. They riot down here where they conceive themselves safe, but they'll risk no encounter with the folk who are crying, 'Pereat Lola!' at her gates." "No!" says he, rubbing his mittens. "Our queen of harlots will find she has few friends left when the mob flush her out." Well, that settled it. I wasn't going to miss the chance of seeing the deceitful trollop ridden out of town on a rail. Supposing the Germans had picked up that fine old Yankee custom? I could spare an hour or two for that, so off we set, the thin chap and I, for the Barrestrasse.